You are listening to a special edition podcast for Marvel's The Punisher. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a special edition podcast for Marvel's The Punisher. We realized we're several months late, but we actually recorded this, about a month after the show came out, but then the recording didn't record my audio, whatever.
John Johnson's computer sucks.
No, the software I was using sucks. So, we're doing it now, just because, there is a bit of news I wanted to talk about this week, because it just makes me feel so much joy, but we're not going to talk about it this week. We'll talk about it in 2 weeks when we come back. But we're going to talk about the Netflix show. It's spoilers. Obviously, if you haven't seen it by now, you probably haven't any interest in it. So just keep that in mind before listening. Because I know some people who take forever to watch shows. I'm one of them. But let's get into talking about it. We're going to talk about The Punisher, starring Jon Bernthal as Frank Castle. But first and foremost, I am Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me is the man who is once again watching fucking Tom Brady in another Super Bowl this year, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, not congratulations on your win, because Tom Brady can go suck my dick.
Oh, God. Just your tears are so salty and delicious. I love it. It's so good.
I cannot wait to when Brady starts sucking like Brett Favre did, and I can't wait for all the articles that are come up. Tom Brady's washed up. The magic is gone. And then when the Patriots trade his ass to Oakland and he dies of withery death.
Can I just say that you just said that you cannot wait to embrace the sucking?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You know how that sounds, right?
I know. I'm well aware. I'm comfortable with my sexuality.
He's okay with it.
I'm okay with it. And the man who I'm convinced is secretly the Shadow, Taser, welcome back to the show.
Yes, I am the man who has no presence. I am he who walks in the shadow of the valley of 4th and Main. I am the Taser, and I am eating wonton soup.
Yum. How are y'all? All right. So let's get right into it. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and we're going to talk about, I can't say the nerdy because an Andre will sue us.
I'll say it the nerdy. That's there you right. Go. I'm trying to get us a lawsuit.
And Taze is black, so that's okay.
Hi-yo, and I wear glasses.
Oh!
He's practically Andre already.
He's Andre in like 20 years after he's given up on everything.
Well, if you watch his videos, you probably know he's already almost there anyways.
Hey!
Go subscribe to Black Nerd Comedy. He's a great YouTube channel. He doesn't know us. Doesn't know who we are. So let's go ahead and talk about it. Let's talk about the bad first. Let's talk about the bad first. Which I don't have any. Brian, you take it away.
Yeah, I mean, there's not – I think that's kind of the undercurrent of this whole thing, depending on who you ask. And I'm of the same mind of Ben, actually, because as fans will know, I'm not a big Punisher guy. But I watched this, and, you know, there's not a whole lot bad about it. The only thing I will say – and this will loop back around to the good stuff we have to talk about. But there was only really, I think, one spot where the show dragged. And, you know, that was about midway through, I want to say. There was, 13 episodes, I think, total?
Yes.
All right, so that would mean, I think it was 6 or 7. Whichever one was the one in... Oh, by the way, in case you missed it, spoiler alert, because we're going to dive into this thing. We're going to fucking gut this fish. It's the one where Sam Stein dies at the hands of Master Billy. And that is just so sad. And it sucks that episode comes at that point, because that is also the episode where Frank just sips wine in suburbia with fucking Microchip's wife. And just, like, Micro gets drunk and depressed because my wife has the hots for you and this bullshit. And it's just, why does that episode exist? I don't know, but it is a rare low point in the show. That's really my only bad part, is that they could have clipped an entire episode, really, and just kind of trimmed it down. That was really my only sour note.
You liked Sam that much?
Well, no, I liked Sam fine. I didn't love him, but my opinion is the whole main plot with Frank, where he is just hanging out with Micro's wife, that bugged the shit out of me.
Oh, okay. Right.
That was unnecessary, where he just basically hung out and drank wine and, you know, had suburban paradise or whatever. That's not what Frank Castle is. Although this series goes out of its way to try to reinterpret what Frank Castle is, I think at least a little bit. But that's
an understatement.
That's neither here nor there. Just suffice to say, the only real thing I had against it was that, as is the case with most of the shows, even though it's to a much harsher degree in other programs, cough, cough, Defenders, cough, cough. Okay.
Just saying.
I'll give you even a few episodes in there, even though I didn't mind the story, but the Defenders especially, where it was like that show had what, 8 episodes and it felt bloated and overdone. This series has 13 episodes and it didn't hardly register, but that one spot just kind of stuck with me as a rare negative spot. So even though it's a near perfect, it's a breath away from being perfect, just that one little thing of fat you can trim away, I really enjoyed it otherwise, and I'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, Taser, I don't know if I think you have more bad than anybody else on the podcast in terms of
I honestly, when it came to the show, the whole Frank Castle cozying up to, you know, Microchip's wife,
yeah,
because of, you know, the life that Chip has and can't get to, but, you know, that's what he wanted and he can't have it all, and you know that, you know, sexual tension that took like forever to get to, and I knew it, they were going to do it because why the fuck not. I think that might have been my biggest, you know, like and the whole Billy the upset, pissed off and can't get right army guy who's, you know, back from Afghanistan and, you know, Captain PTSD. Yeah, him.
Oh, you know? No, you mean the fucked up kid.
Yeah. Lewis. Honestly, I at this point I don't remember, but
pissed off white really, kid when he says he has a bad day and he goes to a school locker, you duck out of the way because God knows what he's gonna pull out of that locker.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, now we know what it was like for Fearless to have what it was like for him growing up. But, excuse me. And while I liked the dementedness and the, you know, stuff that he did as a plot, really, so the whole thing that they really wanted from him was to toss Frank's character, you know, bring Frank's character out into the public. That's really all he actually did. And I, you know, when you look at the story entirely, you know, in its entirety, rather, excuse me, that annoyed me, you know. So that and, you know, Frank taking forever to cozy up and having Microchip watch. And then that really weird conversation where they start talking about, you know, my penis is really big. You know, I started pushing away from the TV at that point.
Yeah, that was, got awkward.
I really, you know, honestly, I wouldn't have taken it there. And there's a lot of places I'll take a story. I would not have done that. But other than that, you know, I didn't really have any I didn't have any real problems with this one. As a matter of fact, I'd rate it number 3 on the Netflix Marvel series, personally.
Hmm.
Daredevil 1 and 2 being 1 and 2.
Yeah. I mean, I'll admit the whole subplot with Microchip wife. His wife was it was fucking weird because, yeah, like Frank Castle, the Frank Castle I know, granted this is a different definition of Frank Castle, but like, he's dead after Maria. Like, that's the point.
Frank Castle died with his family.
Yeah, and the Punisher only lives. And I mean, I like that he, you know, the whole PTSD thing, you know, he's so human. Like, obviously, he's not going to completely cut off, but I'm fine with him dealing with that. But the whole, because obviously he sees Maria in her. Like, obviously, you know, the nice suburban home, the kids, like, he sees that I need, and I would accept this if this was, say, within a year of Maria being killed, but it's not. I want to say it's been a while since in relation to when Frank started killing, you know, people in Daredevil season 2 to this. It's been a while since Maria's been dead. So, you know, if this was like, I can understand it, but I don't understand it. It just felt weird and awkward. And the whole parenting the kid, like, it felt that's the most time he felt out of character, honestly.
But you know why they did it, right?
Right, you know, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree with you. I totally agree with you. It's just that you know why they did it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that kind of sucks. You know, it's understandable, but you're like, yeah, I wouldn't have gone there. You know, anybody who knows or at least has an inkling about Frank Castle as a character might not have gone there, but for the people that, you know, never read a Frank Castle, you know, a Punisher comic, you know, don't read comics, but they watch TV. That's, you know, it's a TV trope. And how could you not go there? You know what I'm saying?
The whole will they or won't they thing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, I'm with you. It's annoying as fuck. It's annoying as fuck, but you know why they did it, you know? Which is like, damn it, Dad, you know, motherfucker, you know, but whatever. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, and also, like, it still had that whole Marvel Netflix problem where, like, the pacing issues are just bad. Like, it just has really bad pacing issues midway through. Like, every single Marvel TV show is like that. Except for Runaways so far, which I'll review at some point because I'm actually halfway through that season.
Finish it.
I will. It's just, you know.
Well, I'm saying I finished it.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought you were telling me to finish it. I was like, I will finish him. But yeah, I don't really have anything else much negative to say. Let's move on to positive.
Yeah, let's do it. Because there's a lot to talk about in this category.
So I really like the whole, because like, I think most of people were expecting like a Punisher versus the New Cheese kind of thing, or Punisher versus Gang Wars, and they like, he just kills like gangs in like the first 5 minutes of the pilot episode. Like, it's done. And I thought it was an interesting choice. Like, and after that, he's pretty much not the Punisher from episode 2 to the end, or to the right, or the last two episodes. He's just Frank Castle. Who's trying? Well, he's not even Frank. He's what was his alias? His name? Shit, it's been
a while.
Steve Mariucci? No, that's the Lions head coach, former Lions head coach.
I'll look it up. You can just.
But yeah, he was. Flint Wilson.
Joe Lopez.
No.
Jerry Seinfeld.
What's the deal with all these gangs in New York?
Castiglione. It was Castiglione. Something Castiglione.
Yes. Yeah. All something right. Very stereotypically Italian. Like, trying to rebuild his life. And, like, I didn't mind that given the context of what he did. Like, I was like, okay, this is interesting. And I personally like the whole seedy government shit. Like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist myself, but I like stories involving conspiracy theory bullshit. And this show was like, not siddled with it, but like it had enough for like you had the CIA, not the CIA guy, the former CIA NSA guy who had his eye cut out, which I thought was awesome.
That was a nice touch.
You know, sort of like run this Black Rogues operation during the Iraq War, or no, it's Afghanistan while they're in Afghanistan, at a certain point in time, and just like hiding things and like his own military. I thought that was all interesting. And I really like the whole address. This show was basically a vehicle for PTSD in the modern soldier,
here, here.
Which is Like, you know, which I thought was like, I never, and I think personally it made Frank a more relatable character, because I'll be honest with you, Frank Castle is not the easiest character to relate to. He's a guy whose family was killed and he becomes a murderous, soulless machine after that. Like, that's what he is in the comics. Here, while he's still a soulless murdering machine, there's a lot more human to him in this. And there's a lot more, like, you can see why, like, in particular, the flashback sequence when, before he slices that dude's, eye out, punches it out. He punches it out, actually, I think. And like, you can see, like, they're in that mission that they were told, like, this is the survival rate or whatever. And like, Frank, like, clearly has a moment in there when he's covered in blood and like all this trauma on him. It's like, it's crazy. And of course the subplot with the white kid who's a soldier and now he's come back and it's not the world that like he knows. Like, he's uncomfortable. He's sleeping outside in a ditch, you know?
Mm.
And then you had the work group. Like, it's all one big, and I think that it was a very interesting choice, and it made, like I said, it made everything much more interesting. But y'all, and of course, Age of Madani, who is arguably the second best character on the show.
Talk about a strong female secondary protagonist, man. She was on point. She was, and I'm so glad.
She was on point, all right.
I'm so glad that they did not off her, spoiler alert, by the end of the season. Because you got worried there for a second. But
She came close. And I will admit, she was a solid character. You know, I mean, there's no doubting about that. She didn't have to rely on anybody. She handled her own business. She took care of business. You know, you ended up liking her. Also, it kind of helps that she was a legitimate good guy. You know.
Yeah.
I also liked it because we had us some sex scenes. Yeah. Woo!
Talk about graphic.
No nudity, but yes, some sexy scenes. So yeah, actually, let's say sexy scenes, which I think might actually be a first for a Netflix show.
It's right there with Jessica Jones and Luke Cage throwing down, which itself was still kind of pretty tame. But
yeah, very much so. This was her and Jigsaw.
Well, I think his name is Billy, technically, until the last few minutes there.
You know, the segue for a little bit. I had no idea what Jigsaw's real name was until...
Did you look that up?
No, I didn't. But until after he got his face smashed in the glass, and I went, no! And then I went and looked it up, and I said, ah, damn it, you know.
They got you.
But, Agent Adani was really watching her try to work her way through obstacles and people trying to undermine, you know, her efforts. That was fun, you know. So that, you know, she was a very solid character. And, I really do hope that they bring her character back for, you know, season two. So, has that been confirmed or?
I think they are doing a Punisher season two. So yeah.
Okay, so yeah, let's hope that they bring her back, because she's not a bad balance for him.
No.
Yeah.
Because one of the bigger weaknesses that a lot of the Marvel shows have is that, I mean, besides Danny Rand, because that entire show sucked, but. Like, when you were off of Matt Murdock and Daredevil, the show kind of lost a little bit of power. Not as much, but, like, Karen wasn't nearly as interesting as what Matt was doing. Versus here, I was equally engaged with what Frank was doing and Madani were doing, because they were both integral into the plot going forward.
Right. Yeah, and to that end, I guess I'll chime in real quick and say that, you know, in the same way that, Madani is the law and order aspect of this, and I'm not sure if it was on purpose or in light of things, because they film most of this by the time that Las Vegas happened, I would think, because they were getting ready to promote this around that same time. Lewis, I find, helps to really illustrate what the other far end of the spectrum would be, because I think with Frank, it's really easy for him to fall into the, well, he's just a crazy guy with a gun territory. And I'm not sure if Lewis was maybe a concentrated effort to try and divert.
Oh, he totally was. Yeah, he totally was. Like a commentary that the statistically the most dangerous thing in America is a white male.
Yeah, and the worst part is you
looking at you, Brian.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not in shape if that means anything. So at least you got that going for you. You know, I mean, I can probably, you guys can probably outrun me just throwing that out there.
Well, I don't know. I saw you run for that train. You know, so
that was a Philly fan, a disgusting, disgusting Philly fan.
But, I was gonna say you in disguise, but okay.
Now you're gonna make us lose all our Philly fans.
Sorry, Philly fans. I'm sorry. Most of our fans are in Mexico, though, if that helps. No?
Hola. Okay.
I mean, I know Spider Lantern's a Buffalo fan, but I don't have any thoughts about it. Anyway, this isn't football. This is about the Punisher. And suffice to say that, you know, I think it plays really well that even though Frank is pitted by these, you know, fringe element, you know, obviously there's Lewis the crazy shooter, there's Rawlins the really really black ops you know dark guy, which the part where Billy Russo is talking with him and he's talking like, yeah, I used to see how you would get a little pent up, so to speak, whenever you'd be torturing some dude, I'm like, that's a fucked up individual right there. But I think this show overall has one of the strongest casts of characters in any Marvel show. Because every character, even the lesser ones like Sam, who don't make it all the way to the end, rest in peace, Sam Stein, they sort of can stand and function on their own. No one's really there for the benefit of either propping up a character or just for like, well, we have to have this character, we have to have that character.
I would disagree with you. No offense, but I totally believe, and I felt this from when they introduced him, that Sam Stein was going to die.
Oh, and, I knew he was gonna die too. You know, I'm not
but,
saying
he was. Well, okay, but I totally think that he was Nadani's prop, and he was totally gonna die, and it was gonna be, you know, he had the whole hallmark coding of midway character that causes distress. You know, whose death causes distress. Kind of like, what the hell was his name from, Frank Whaley. Frank Whaley's character. What was that? Daredevil, or was that Luke Cage?
What are you talking about? I'm not talking about, like, I don't mean characters like they're just there to die. I mean characters who are not used to cover up the weaknesses in other characters' writing or acting.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's fair what enough. I was trying to get across, because every character, I feel, despite that, yes, Sam Stein was painted from the very beginning. I mean, he's a wisecracking, scraggly-looking, secondary white guy. Yeah. Of course, he was going to die.
Which basically said dead.
But despite all that, he was still an interesting character because he was kind of a burnout before Madani showed up, and she kind of lights this fire in him where it's like, okay, I guess I can actually do something. And then he realizes too late, oh shit, I'm just the guy who's going to die. So, but that having been said, I really appreciated the way it looked at almost every aspect of the veterans, you know, angle. Cause you know, my own father is a veteran, I should say. And you know, you have the guy who comes back wounded, but he still tries to help other veterans. You have the one who is very deeply psychologically disturbed. You have the ones who are still kind of in it. You know, it's Billy Russo, where he's still doing dirty work, and it doesn't really bother him. And that being said, I think Ben Barnes, who plays Billy Russo, is probably one of the best villains in the Marvel Defenders verse, so to speak.
Certainly the way he played him, because
yeah,
I mean, granted, it's also how they wrote the story, but his character, I love this character until that one moment when, what was it, episode 5?
When he's like, Frank, we can get you out of here, Frank. We get you out of here. And then and then you realize he's in cahoots with the eyeball.
Yeah, I mean, they pulled that off. As far as I was concerned, that was sweet. You know?
Because, Yeah, because Russo, the entire thing, you don't suspect him, because mm-hmm. he honestly feels like Frank's only friend besides, you know, I think his name is Will.
Curtis.
Yeah. You know,
everything
so
everything about him was, you know, Frank's my boy, Frank's my friend. I have nothing bad to say about him. Frank was my brother.
He was pissed because when he started to catch on, he thought Curtis was holding on to him. Like, he's my brother, man. Why aren't you telling me if he's really still here or not? And he's like, he plays it off as genuine so well. And that to me is really something that I think shines through. And I'll be ecstatic to see if they bring him back, because the way that they took him out in the show was so – oh, I actually felt like, oh, shit, he's really screaming. I got to turn this down a little bit. Like, it was bad for a minute there. But then you remember all the shit he did, and it's like, well, he essentially fed Frank's family into a meat grinder, and that itself – I was surprised he was, like, the one bad guy who didn't die, but I guess they should keep – I mean – I'm not surprised. I guess they needed to keep him alive, but
and well, they all needed that being... him to, they needed yes. him to move on into, you know, true Marvel comic villain mode. You know, this was his origin, really. This was
Jigsaw Year One.
Yeah. But I mean, his depiction, and I love the fact that he was such a like, you knew he was a narcissistic kind of guy. Like, he loved himself, but you got the sense he was still somewhat genuine up until the double cross. And that being said, though, I don't think there was any more satisfying moment in the series when he uncuffs Frank when he's being tortured by Rollins, and Frank gets up out of that motherfucking chair and beats the shit out of this dude. And he just stands there watching, going, Frankie, I love watching you work, and just lays into the dude. That was a fist bump moment, even though you knew it couldn't last.
Yeah, because I thought before, like, Rollins was just, like, perfect villain. Just, like, looking – I mean, not even the eye thing, just, like, how he talks, how he handled himself. Like, especially in those flashback sequences in Afghanistan, it's like – dude, you are a fucking bureaucratic stereotype, and I just want to whoop your ass. And it was so satisfying to see that.
Yeah, he was a real piece of shit.
You know what he was? He was the type of person that's like, I'm up here, you're down here. I don't have anything to worry about you, because I know you're not going to do anything to threaten me.
Exactly.
You know, and to see him have that stool knocked out from under him, yeah. That just brought glee to my face. Pure unadulterated glee.
Yeah, he was something else, but I mean, he was just the type of guy, like, yeah, he made your skin crawl, even when he wasn't doing anything necessarily evil. Like, even just that speech he was giving to those new recruits or whatever was fucking, it kind of turned my stomach a little bit. But yeah, I mean, that was good. And then also in the conversation, obviously, I mean, can we dive into John Bernthal right now as Frank Castle? I mean, should...
Oh, like how he's like the definitive version of this character? Sure.
Yeah, he pretty much is, man. Like, I mean, I'm not a Punisher guy. I saw this series, Thomas Jane was obviously my guy. I loved his movie, but this was just a knock right out of the park. It was fantastic. He added a depth to Frank I didn't know there was. And he did it with absolute just conviction, and you believed every step of the way this was Frank Castle you were looking at, and he was amazing. Who would have thought Shane from The Walking Dead would turn out to be such a fantastic Punisher? And I'm going to get his name right the first time, because we stumbled over this the last time we did it. Eben Moss Backrack, I think that's how you pronounce that. The guy who plays Micro, essentially. I thought, despite his comments about his bubble butt, and yes, that is real, you can go watch it, he was a fantastic contrast to Frank, where, you know, he's a guy who really did try to do the right thing and believed in the system, and it just absolutely came back to kick him in the ass. And that is, you know, his journey to get his family back is really, that's really the human story here. Like, Frank Castle is who Frank Castle is, but the journey to get Micro back to his family, I think, is actually at the heart of the series, because Frank is just there. He sees it as a means to an end. He says as much, where, you know, I'm going to kill them all. And Micro's like, okay, I'm good with that. But their tandem, they're working together, their development, and the eventual culmination of that, I think, really helps to tell the story that is there. And I think it's a great story. So, I mean, I said it on the last podcast. I'll put it on the record here. This is second only to Daredevil season one for me. I don't think I watched a series in terms of consistent quality like this. Since Daredevil season one, I really enjoyed the hell out of it, and I cannot wait for more. And I never thought I would say that about a Punisher series. I wanted to say it about Luke Cage or about Iron Fist, you know, and unfortunately that didn't really end up being the case all around. But overall, this is definitely one of the strongest series in terms of consistent quality. I thought it was great, 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 great stuff.
Anything else we got to say, boys? Dude, what did you have to say about Bernthal's performance, Taser?
What are you drinking? Something?
Wonton soup.
That fucking wonton. Yeah.
Tea. A wildberry tea. Celestial seasonings.
And then
a double chocolate chip cookie from Dunkin' Donuts.
And then.
Nice.
And then, no. I wouldn't place it as high as, Bri would put it. I'd put it one more below because that second slot is reserved for Daredevil Season 2. However,
I didn't think Season 2 was as consistent as Season 1, but that's just me, I guess. You know.
It had more ninjas.
Before they became the fucking Defender version of the Hand.
Yeah, exactly. That was the end of the ninjas.
I will say in Season 2... the moment where Nobu is there and Matt just goes, "You're dead," and he goes, "There's no such thing." That is a spine-chilling moment right there. I will grant you that, sir. But
no, I enjoyed it. Bernthal as Frank Castle. I think Bernthal as Frank Castle was better than most of the depictions of Punisher, live-action Punisher I've seen. I still liked, what's the name of the guy who did that last Punisher movie?
Ray Stevenson.
European guy.
Ray Stevenson.
Yeah, I still like him. You know, I can't help it. But that's because it was the movie version, and it was way more violent, be perfectly honest. For TV, Bernthal played it a little too Brooklynite for me, you know? Because, you know, he had that whole bruiser boxing thing going on. You know, was like, you know, kind of like Rocky. You know, Rocky in the first Rocky. You know, he's kind of talking into his chest and everything.
Bringing the Philly fans back with a Rocky reference. I see what you're going for.
Unintentional. But. It wasn't bad, but it's just something I kind of picked up on, and I just kind of went, huh, okay, so they went there that way with that. Okay, fair enough. But and again, of course, you know, the whole, man, this guy has a life I wish that I had. Oh, but, you know, the whole back and forth with that shit. But all in all, I don't have any real negative complaints about how Bernthal plays the character. He pulls it off. You know, and really, as long as you pull off the character, for me, I'm good. You know, I got no major complaints about his performance. He doesn't have to actually look like the character for me, even though Bernthal, I have no idea, but he seems kind of like a under 6 feet person. But, you know, then again, you know, that doesn't really make a fucking difference is what you do with the character that counts. So, yeah, Bernthal was fine. You know, they do see. Well, I'm sorry, I won't say stellar.
Although, actually, you know what? I actually did have a quick little aside for you, if I can interrupt for just 1 second. I have a question. I saw someone on one of the Tumblrs there talking about Frank Castle, saying how a dude like that from Brooklyn, you know, his siding towards country music and the country theming of this show didn't really sit right, and that most dudes in what they projected to be from that area of New York would either listen to bumping techno or thrash metal. I didn't know if you, as a New York, had any insider into the musical proclivities of where Frank Castle would land.
Born and raised in New York, born in Brooklyn. Thrash metal? See, that's the weird thing. Country actually has a bit of a place here, not as big as in others. Definitely not like the R&B and the hip hop and the pop, yay. The club scene. Okay, club scene is big here. Sorry. But like thrash metal, that's not one of my things.
Fair enough.
Honestly, I can't comment on it, but I could see him listening to it. I mean, why not? You know, it was
just a little thing that someone I didn't know if you had any insight into that.
And the funny thing is, I don't know. We don't know where Frank Castle was in New York, because I believe Frank Castle was a native New Yorker. Right.
Yeah. Someone theorized that he might have been from Bensonhurst, but I don't know about that.
That's because he talked the way that he did.
tell me though, did at least the Springsteen love seem accurate for?
Yes, it did. I excuse me again.
Yeah.
Totally see Frank Castle as having a
Springsteen affection.
No, a solid rock affection. Considering the age, Led Zeppelin and
sure,
I was about to say Tears for Fears. let's say, mid to late 70s, early 80s, not so much the glam rock, but like Van Halen, something along there. He probably listened to a bit of blues too, from the character. That's what I got.
I am so loving the fact that we are just dissecting his musical interests, right? Like, I really do love it. I think it's fantastic.
Well, if I wrote him, he'd be into dubstep. Hey!
Oh my, are you dying over there, Taser? The wonton's fucking with you?
No, I was texting to John earlier today. And I think he sent me the same bug that, is killing him and his family. He sent that over Facebook. So I'd just like to say thank you, OG-san. You suck. And wrestling sucks, too. So does Kamen Rider. No, I'm just kidding. get better, man. So I'm dealing with my own health issues. But, I think Slash metal, and to be fair, I know nothing about that. I go as far as I don't even remember the name of the group now.
Okay.
let's say Gwar. I go as far as Gwar, and then after that, I am lost.
Yeah, I like me some Gwar.
I think I might have mentioned before, but they used to do conventions here in New York. They used to do the big comic convention in Javits Center before they shut down the Javits Center. Then they brought it back and they started doing more comic shows again. But they used to have like three tables just full of all their bone and death things and they had the guy with the big penis thing, and they'd be behind the table selling the music and the posters and shit like that, and then they would walk the floor. One of the big fun things to do would be to go to that show and then just see giant 5-foot penis walk past the dealer's tables. I'll never get that image out of my mind, man. It's fucking awesome. But no, Frank Castle, definitely a music fan. I couldn't tell you about slash metal, but definitely rock and most likely some blues,
Most fantastic. Likely blues. I love this tangent so much. Can we stay on this just for the rest of the show? Nah, it's fine.
But you know, I will say this though, for season two, I want them. I don't want to lose Microchip because
yeah, neither do I.
You know, not, aside from the dichotomy of characters, but merely for the utility that he brought. Mm. You know, because Microchip was like the back computer. You know what I'm saying? You know, he was the information resource. And I've always, and this is me, I've always equated the Punisher with Microchip.
It's like a grounding element. It's a humanizing thing, it feels like, you know?
No, because see, that speaks to their personalities, and I'm not angling at that. I'm just talking about in simple terms of functionality and what he wants to do and how he can do it. You know, Microchip in the book and Micro here in the show allowed him to have access to information and shit that he normally wouldn't be able to do on his own. You know, he was a big information resource. Without that, I don't. It's not like they couldn't do it, but I don't see him being somebody who's able to access a lot of the high tech. I don't want to say high tech, but let's say the hidden info that Micro got into, you know. So simply for that reason alone, you know, I don't want him to go anywhere. But you know, I suppose we'll see whenever season two actually comes out. Oh, and Jigsaw, yeah, bring us Jigsaw back, because we need a true Marvel-esque villain.
Yeah, no shit. Well, I mean, that was I want Jigsaw back, but I mean, and I know I hesitate to say it can fix any Netflix show, but especially where it comes with the Punisher, bringing in Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin feels like it has to happen at some point, even if it's not season two.
That's fair. And I think that would be a great thing. Have Jigsaw hire himself out to Kingpin to go after
him. Now we're talking. And that you could even intro other gangs, because you know, you gotta do the gang wars. Oh, and fucking I don't even think we talked about it. In the very first episode we referenced Ma Nucci and the Nucci family from the old Punisher books. Like, when are we getting some of the Nucci crime family? I want to see that go down, you know? We can easily make a series around that for season two. And even if you don't want to do Kingpin right away, you can have Billy Russo hire himself out to the Nucci's, be like, hey, I know this dude fucked up one of your game tables last year or something like that. Pay me some money, I'll kick his ass for you or something like that. You know, you can do something with that. You know, there's still a lot that you can do with Frank Castle, because especially where it seems like it ended with him going overt, being back out in the world. Like, that seemed to be what it was indicating. Like, he's
true
getting his life back, so I'm not sure how that'll play out in season two either. But what did you think? Actually, I'm going to ask Iggy, too. What did you guys think of the inclusion of Karen Page and kind of the omission of her from the ending? Like, what did you guys think of that, I guess?
It felt incomplete because of what you said. Because, I mean, I get it, because she and Frank Castle have this weird romantic tension, which is, again, same thing with with Micro's wife. It's like, why? Because that was introduced in season two, where, like, obviously Karen feels something for him. In the fact that she wasn't there, it's just like, why was she even? She didn't need to be in the season at all. Like, I get it. Like, she's the connection to the larger universe, but she didn't serve anything about the story too much. Like, you could have removed her and everything would have been pretty much fine. Nothing would have changed that much. That's my only other, I guess, really complaint that I had with it.
All right, fair enough. Taser?
I'll be fair. I like Karen in it. I wish they had added somebody else. One second. It would have been great if they'd have had Misty. That would have been fun.
Misty.
Yeah, Misty Knight. Why not?
No, I know who you mean. Just why?
Because. Okay, I'm just stretching things.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, wow, he's dying over there. He's dying.
All right, that means it's time to wrap the show up. Let's wrap it up. Yes.
Let's wrap it up before I die on air.
Yeah, we don't want to have that on recording. That's just bad karma. Like, we return to form in 2018. Taser's dead. Yeah. Sad.
Lies.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of The Punisher, our first show of 2018. If you liked what you heard, leave a comment on our Facebook or our website, www.thewarriorstreet.wordpress.com. Follow us on Twitter.com at twitter.com/@Warriors3PCast. And, follow all my stuff at twitter.com/MarvelousIggy. Brian, plug your crap.
All right. Well, we are on Facebook at the Mighty Warriors Theme Marvel Podcast. We're a news aggregate. We pull stories from everywhere. So if you want your Marvel news feed fix all at one central location, go and like us on Facebook. We keep it regularly updated. Myself, Taser, and John do a pretty decent job of keeping that running. Personally, I am on Twitter. I'm in the Twitter sphere at No Mr. Powers. That is at NO_MR_POWERS. Right now, my logo is a Punisher skull with a Patriots logo on it because fuck yeah, that's what's happening. And that's about it for right now. Obviously, we're back to form. We apologize for the technical errors there at the end of 2017, but we are hitting it hard this year, giggity. And we're going to be bringing you great, great stuff. And we will get that Star Wars review out at some point, probably more towards the Blu-ray, I think, Iggy said. And but keep an eye out for that there, and just like us on the Facebook to keep up with all of our news, and not just the news we share, but also updates about the podcast. And another way to do that is to subscribe to us on iTunes, and we're there updating regularly, so come on out, people, you know. And we're around. Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you all or Taser, rather. Did you have anything to say before we left, buddy?
Yeah, I like tacos.
Hey.
Who doesn't love tacos? So, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you all in 2 weeks. Until then, stay marvelous. Have a good night, everybody.